What a good morning already. Praise the Lord as everybody's children are gathering and going out. You know, recently I've been watching the History Channel in a series on men who built America. Men who built America. And each one was prepared for the changes in society. And however, the following refers to some of those who thought they were prepared and one who succeeded. In 1923, I wasn't born yet, but who was the president of the largest steel company? Who was the president of the largest gas company? Who was the president of the New York Stock Exchange? Who was the greatest wheat speculator? Who was the president of the International Settlement? And who was the Great Bear of Wall Street? These men were considered some of the world's most successful of their days and were prepared for the future, and were preparing for the future. Now, 80 years later, the history books ask us if we know what ultimately became of them. The answers. The president of the largest steel company, Charles Schwab, not any relation to the investment firm, died a pauper. The president of the largest gas company, Edward Hobson, went insane. The president of the New York Stock Exchange, Richard Whitney, was released from prison to die at home. The greatest wheat speculator, Arthur Cougar, died abroad, penniless. The president of the International Settlement, Leon Frazier, shot himself. And the Great Bear of Wall Street, Cosby Livermore, also committed suicide. However, in that same year, 1923, the PGA champion and the winner of the most important golf tournament, the U.S. Open, was Gene Sarazen. What became of him? He played golf until he was 92, died in 1999 at the age of 95. He was financially secure at the time of his death. The moral? Forget work, play golf. sharing the first song today, and as written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one. Isaiah, it talks about in Luke 3:4, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. We were talking about Ezekiel preparing the way. Matthew 23:37 says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. As I was preparing the sermon, I thought about preaching on fasting because of the wonderful dinner you had last week. Unfortunately, I was out of town, just coming back into town that day. And because of Thanksgiving, a sermon on fasting might be needed by us all because of some of the food we might have overeaten and overindulged in. However, I felt the Lord pressing on me to share a word on preparation. Even though we are a week away from the first Sunday of Advent, it is time to prepare ourselves for the celebration of Christ's birth. On December 8th, we're going to have at our house one of the great traditions that take place every Christmas season, the making of snickerdoodles. When the three boys and now the grandsons get together and make snickerdoodles. We've been doing this for over 20 years. It's a great tradition and one our children have come to enjoy. Right now we're in the preparation stage of getting all the ingredients together. But for every event in life, we need to prepare ourselves. Recently we saw our nephew and his wife and visited their new twin boys. What else? The Brown family doesn't know anything about girls. We just have boys. So they had probably had 6 months to prepare for the arrival of these twins when they found out they were having twins. Now, I can tell you a story about when we had our first child, and the OBGYN was giving a story about how at that point in time, the sophistication of the sonograms were not that sophisticated then. They were doing x-rays. And this couple here was not that prepared for what was coming. Because they thought at that particular time that they were going to have one child. When the time came down for the birth, one child was to come, then another child. He calls on the x-ray. How many children do you think? Said, just one. Well, I've got two here and one's still on its way. They were not prepared for triplets. However, you know, there are some things that, as this couple did, we do not prepare for, and we need the Lord to help us in that preparation. We need the Lord. Recently heard from our daughter-in-law, who teaches third grade up in west of Mount Airy, and she requested prayer for one of her third grade students. How many of you are in third grade, or how many have children in third grade right now? Third grade student, okay, who has stage 4 cancer of Hodgkin's. Who is now undergoing chemotherapy, and she requested prayer from us and others to give her strength as she was elected to tell her class that this little boy, his name is Tommy Stanley, when you keep him in your prayers, he's been homeless throughout his life and never had the medical care in order to really identify the cancer until this got to this stage. You know, he's not prepared for how he got this. As an 8-year-old boy, not understanding, preparing, he needs our prayers. You know, the Bible says, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. In other words, it's time for us to get out of the way and allow the Lord to lead the way. Allow the Lord. But unfortunately, that's contrary to what we think about. Particularly for guys. The guys want to lead the way. They want to be the trailblazers. But God is saying to us right now, let me lead the way. Prepare the way for what I'm going to do in your life. Prepare the way of what God's going to do. God humbles us many times so that we become more dependent upon Him. More dependent upon Him. Sometimes we think we're going the right way and He has things happen in our lives that we think are the worst things in our life to happen. But God is using those areas of our life, those instances of our life, those situations to humble us so that we might come back to Him and allow Him to lead the way. Sometimes He has to tear down what is in our life in order that He can build us back up in the shape of His kingdom, not our kingdom. He's preparing the way. He's preparing the way. Isaiah 55:8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. Preparation requires us to align our thoughts with the Lord and our ways with His ways. The Lord says that the path to Him is a narrow path. It's a very narrow path. It's a very narrow path as we go. I know that Dan loves to do the hikes and takes his kids on hikes, and many times that path you go on is very narrow. And you got to watch your step, or you might slip down, and you might fall in the creek. He's probably never fallen into a creek there on his path. He has, okay? Sylvia probably says that, why did you do that? I got to clean this stuff now. Okay, I'm not speaking truth. But it's a path that we prefer not to walk on. We don't prefer that narrow path. We want the wide path. We want the security there. But the path that needs to be followed is the narrow path of the Lord. The narrow path of the Lord. And preparation requires a sacrifice on all of our parts to hear the voice of God. You know, Sue and I over Thanksgiving break. My mother is now down in Charlotte. She lives with us. She's with my brother. So Wednesday was one of the first days that we were home alone, that we have had the house to ourselves. So I told Sue, I said, I want to go see a movie Wednesday. I dropped my mother off at the airport, and I want to go see two movies. Well, she only let me see one. And maybe it's the kid in me, but I want to go see Wreck-It Ralph. I want to go see Wreck-It Ralph. But we ended up seeing Lincoln. And we ended up seeing it twice. Because we went down to her brother's house, and he already bought tickets for it. And I said, I wish he had told me that before. I could have gone see Wreck-It Ralph the day before. But it's a great movie, and it's a wonderful movie, and one I highly recommend, the movie Lincoln. But when Lincoln became president, he was not prepared to face the issues of that day. He wasn't prepared to face the issues of that day. But as the line in the movie declares, he was the man for the times. He was a man for the times. He was not only to make the decisions that affected our country because of his devotion to the Lord, but he allowed the Lord to prepare the way. You might not be making decisions to affect the future of a nation. Or you might be. If we talk about children, you might be the generation that's going to make decisions that are going to affect the future of this nation. But you're making decisions today that affect your life and your family. You're making those decisions today. Are you allowing the Lord to prepare the way? Or are you standing in the way? In order to truly prepare for the Lord, we need to follow the greatest commandment Jesus gave us. He says to love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And in order to love the Lord in this way, we need to prepare our heart, our mind, and our soul and get excited about what God is going to do for us. We need to prepare for the future of what God has in store for our life. We need to not worry about the past, but prepare for the future. Prepare for the future. Prepare what God's going to be doing tomorrow. What is God? You get excited about tomorrow, what tomorrow is going to bring. He says, don't worry about tomorrow, but we need to prepare for tomorrow. Prepare what God's going to be doing. Are we preparing now to see the walls of this church blown out? To see the church grow in the name of Jesus Christ? We get discouraged many times because what's happening in our nation, and I agree with Thurlow's prayer that we need to be praying for our nation. We need to be praying for it. But you know what? The enemy might think he's won, but the victory is ours, declares the Lord. And we need to prepare for what God's going to be doing, how God's going to be bringing in the harvest. All of a sudden, if 500 people showed up the door, how would we respond to that? Are we preparing ourselves for that? But then we're going to spend the next few moments just talking about these areas, the heart, the mind, and the soul. First and foremost, we need to prepare our heart for what God wants to do in our lives, and that requires change. That requires change. Listen to a couple of verses. Luke 6:27 says, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you." Proverbs 25:21-22 says, "If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you." Who are the enemies in your life? Who are the enemies in your life? They might not be the ones who do you a lot of harm, but know how to push the button that changes you. They've got that little area, the little words they might say that sets you off. And they become the enemy in your life. It's important that we prepare our hearts to look at people differently, the way the Lord looks at them. When people come along your path that you're not very comfortable with, how do you react to them? The Lord's challenging me in that area to really understand individuals. We talk about the different cultures in this country, in this church, and the different countries that are represented. I'm still trying to understand them all. I'm still understanding all the nations. I don't understand, but I'm trying to learn that. Forgive me if I'm slow. My wife tells me I am slow many times of understanding things. But I'm trying to learn that. I'm trying to understand that. I'm preparing what God's going to be doing in our hearts. And one of the things about the enemies that we have in our life, we need to learn to forgive them. Forgive people that have maybe come against us. Forgive those that have persecuted us. The heart of Jesus Christ was one that he loved his enemies and he forgave them. He forgave them. Do we have that same heart that Jesus has? Do we have the same... when people walk in this church, I know we are a very loving church and a very welcoming church, but in your own home, are you that way? Are you that way at work? Are you that way wherever you're at? in neighborhoods? Are you that way in the store? Are you that way on the road? The enemy who's trying to get into your line. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, than he lays down his life for his friends. And the verse we even talked about today in the Vision for Life class, Matthew 20:26-28 says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Do we have a servant's heart? You have a servant's heart. Is God preparing your heart to be a servant? A servant is sometimes a menial task, but it's also a glorious task. It's a glorious task to do. Are we willing to lay down our life in order to further someone's growth in the kingdom of God? Are we willing to go that extra step? There's an old song that was back in the 60s. It says, walk a mile in my shoes. Are you ready to walk a mile in somebody else's shoe? To see where they're at? To see where they're at? Is God preparing your heart to be that way? To walk a mile? To walk a mile? How many men, husbands, get all excited about how the wife wants to prepare your heart to serve the children for 5 days? And let your wife go away for 5 days? And let your house still be in order when they came back? Do we have that servant's heart? Jesus was willing to lay down his life for each one of us in order that we might receive salvation. The one thing about Jesus Christ, it was not to his glory, but for the glory of the Father. He was come to glorify the Father. That was his whole purpose, was to glorify the Father by laying down his life for each one of us. His heart was prepared as ours. Second, we need to prepare our mind for what God wants to do in our lives. And that also requires change. The heart and mind work together. The heart, the mind work together. It says in Proverbs 23, it says, as a man thinketh, so in his heart he is. That is good and bad. We could think bad thoughts, and that's what our heart will be all about. We'll have that situation. So we have to start changing. We have to start processing. We have to understand, prepare our minds to receive what God has. We only have that happen because we go into the Word of God and we say, okay, what's the Word of God say about this? We need to get that, it's ingrained in our mind. So in our mind, we have it, so in our heart, it comes out. If we have good thoughts, then our heart is at peace and we're prepared for what God wants to do in our lives. However, when our thoughts are bad, we are a lost cause. Therefore, we need to take action. And how do we do this? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We need to grab hold of it and take those thoughts and make it obedient to Christ. It says, I really want to concentrate on that taking captive of every thought. Taking captive of it. Do our thoughts reflect what God wants to do in our lives? We need to remember that our enemy wants to destroy us and will constantly bring up thoughts to destroy our relationship with Christ. The enemy does not go away. Even though you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, even though you've been baptized, even though you've been baptized in the Spirit, the enemy does not go away. He's going to bring up these thoughts and say, you know what? You're terrible. You're worthless. There's no hope in you. We need to take captive those thoughts and make them obedient to Christ and understand what Christ has in store for each one of us. He wants to and if we stayed there, our lives will be destroyed. There are so many people that are oppressed today because of what has happened in their past. And it keeps being brought up to them, reminded of them again and again and again. But God's preparing ourselves for our future. A future. However, that's not the Lord's desire for each one of us. And we need to prepare ourselves for what God is doing, the advancing in our lives, of the Lord in our lives. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." When the enemy has a bad thought, we go with a good thought. Lord, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. There's no despair. I've got hope. When there's there. Whatever the enemy might say, go with the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians says, we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. All things. You know, there are a few thoughts that need to be captured for the way of life that God has prepared for us. You know what? I think that in terms of many times, if there's, and we have, within many different cultures, you can have this happen. But if there's prejudice, and I don't know why the Lord had me put this phrase down, but I think it's for us. We need to capture that thought and turn it into unconditional love for God. And that prejudice could be anything. Not just against different colors, different races. It could be how a person is. Where that person is. Is he alcoholic? Well, he's prejudiced against that. We need to turn unconditional love for God. Whether it's a disease. We need to purpose in our minds to think of how to love someone instead of judging them. We as a church body many times are great at judging people. I'm not saying here for Northgate, because I think Northgate is a very great family of God that is learning even more and more day in, day out of how to love someone. For the church itself, we are very much a part of judging others instead of just loving others. If you see the movie Lincoln, and I'm going to give away one of the last scenes, so I'm not giving away anything that you already don't know. But one of the things, Lincoln is sitting with Ulysses S. Grant. They're sitting on a porch in Petersburg, Virginia. And they're saying, you know what? When the Confederates surrender, and it was just a matter of days, I want them to be released. I want them to go back to their farms. I want them to go back to their neighborhoods. I want to go back to their... There was not going to be any judgment going on. There was unconditional love that was going to be shown towards them. He wanted to bring the Confederate states and the Union states back together to form that one union of the United States. And he said, basically, if the leaders, Jefferson, Davis, and those, if all of a sudden they got on a boat to England and were left behind my back, so be it. There was not a judgmental thing going on in Lincoln's mind right then. If there's despair, we need to capture that thought and turn it into the hope. We have the hope of Jesus Christ in our life. The enemy is despair. Jesus Christ is the hope. We need to remember that wherever we're at, whatever circumstances we're in, if God is for us, who can be against us? God is preparing the way for us to do great things in our lives. Have you ever thought about looking at your children right now, what God's going to do in their life? You think about that. Abraham Lincoln talked about in the movie about his father was very much of a strict father. He didn't really have hope for Abraham Lincoln. But God is doing some things there. And lastly, in this verse, we need to prepare our soul. Our soul, which is our spirit, needs to be connected with the Spirit of the Lord. What are the ingredients that need to prepare our soul to be connected to the Spirit of God? The ingredients, I believe, are reflected in the following verses. In Galatians 5, 22 to 23. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. It is joy. It is peace. I'm seeing a bunch of pizzas. It's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness, it's self-control. I'm not going to expound on these qualities, but that's a sermon in itself. However, every day I pray that each one of these qualities might become a part of my life and displace whatever human qualities I might have in each of these areas. I can have human love, but I want spiritual love. I can have human joy, but I want spiritual joy. I can have human faithfulness, I want spiritual faithfulness. And so on and so on and so on. I need to change so my spirit is in tune with God's spirit. That my spirit is basically displaced and replaced by God's spirit. As God prepares the way, He's going to tear down things in my life that are not of His and are going to build them up and prepare the way and prepare a magnificent edifice that is me standing firm on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And what I want people to see is not me, not this guy with a mustache, not this guy with blonde hair that has turned some different color. But I want them to see, as God prepares me, I want them to see God in me, not me. I want them to see God in me as I reflect the glory of God. As Jesus Christ reflected the glory of the Father. I want to see that happen in our life. I want to see that happen in each one of our lives. Just think what it would mean in each of our lives if our spirit and our soul, which is our spirit, becomes one with His spirit, and we could plant the seeds of love, the seeds of joy, the seeds of peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. Just think of the possibilities. What would happen? Just think if our attitude became one of what God's Spirit has in store for us. What our neighborhoods would change. What the stores would change. Just being with people. People probably think we're nuts. But you know what? That's what God's Spirit is. Look how Jesus Christ changed a nation. Changed people. That's what God is preparing the way for us to do. He desires for us to become an instrument spiritually to expand His kingdom. And we're able to do that when our spirit is in concert with others, with Himself. So where does that bring us? We started with the verse, prepare the way for the Lord. And we examined ways of how to prepare for Him. It's much like preparing the ingredients for snickerdoodles. We have the flour, we have the sugar, we have the butter, we have the eggs, all healthy stuff, etc. And we mix it all together and we roll the dough into little balls and place them on the cookie sheet. We have put the cookie sheet in the oven waiting for them to become cookies, even though some might have tasted the dough before they got on the cookie sheet. I won't get out names. But we wait the 8 to 10 minutes and we see them flatten out, become those wonderful cinnamon sugar cookies. Make me a little hungry now. We take them out, we place them on the cooling tray. And if we just kept them there and did not eat and enjoy them, we would not enjoy the labor of our preparation. And that would be a travesty. That's the same way with our life for the Lord. God has prepared the way for us. Let's not leave the wonderful gifts and fruits on the cooling tray. It's time for us to enjoy the gifts and fruits that the Lord has prepared in advance for each one of us. Let's take advantage of what God's doing in our life. We might be despaired by what the enemy might be saying, but look forward to the future as God prepares the way in each one of our lives to grow stronger and stronger and stronger in the Lord. That might take some tearing down, but when that tearing down takes place, He replaces it with a much stronger edifice that is dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ as He prepares the way. Let's just pray. Father, we thank You today, Lord God, that You have prepared the way for us. We thank You, Lord God, that because of Jesus Christ's death on the cross, that, Father, the way is there for each one of us to have that salvation in our life. We thank You today, Lord God, the blood of Jesus Christ covers each one of us. And it was shared earlier, Father, we thank You, Father, that You're preparing for healings to take place in people's lives today. You're preparing the way, Father, for the right jobs to be given to people right now. Father, we're not people of despair, but we're a people of hope because of You, Lord God. And we thank You today, Father, that You do prepare the way for each one of us. And Father, help us prepare our hearts in our minds and our souls, Father, Lord God, that we'd be in concert with you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.